We're going to be in Luke 18 and Luke 11. When I think about persistence, one of the things that comes to my mind happened about 21 or so years ago is the 1998 Super Bowl. I know you remember who played in the 1998 Super Bowl. If you do, you may have a problem. I want to talk with you after the service about that addiction you may have to sports, but anyway, I'm just kidding. But nevertheless, in 1998, the Denver Broncos were in the Super Bowl. John Elway had been there three times and had never won the Super Bowl, arguably up to that point, certainly Hall of Fame-type career, but had never won the big game. In fairness to him, the supporting cast around him just hadn't been there compared to the teams that he had played previously. But that year in 1998, John Elway won the Super Bowl, finally attaining that trophy that he had longed to get. He also went on the next year in 99 to win it back-to-back seasons. But another story of persistence that happened in that wouldn't be as well known, but for those who are intense about their football, and specifically maybe even those Bulldogs in the room, might remember there was another guy on the team that year that played in Athens some. His name was Terrell Davis. Terrell grew up in San Diego, California, went to junior college out there, was recruited by the Bulldogs to come to Athens and play. But the head coach at that time, Ray Goff, no comments added, didn't see enough in Terrell to be able to get on the field very much. So he was pretty much a reserve at Athens, but the Denver Broncos saw enough in him to draft him. All Terrell Davis did his rookie season was lead the league as a rookie, had the most rushing yards as a rookie. The next two seasons went on to lead the AFC in rushing. And in 1998 in the Super Bowl, Terrell Davis was named the Super Bowl MVP, in spite of the fact that he didn't even hardly see the field when he played at UGA. By the way, in 2017, Terrell Davis was inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Persistence can pay off. It could be said that there's a fine line between persistence and being a nuisance. When it comes to our prayer life, we must seek to be persistent without being a nuisance. But let me explain. The only way we can ultimately be a nuisance to God is to pray vainly and to pray with vain repetition. If our heart is sincere when we come before God, we can pray it over and over and God wants to hear it. But if we come to Him with an insincere heart, we're not coming to Him with the right attitude and the right heart to come to God. In the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6, verse 7, Jesus said, "And when you're praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose they will be heard for their many words." It's important to make sure you note meaningless repetition. We might overlook that word before repetition. We think, well, God doesn't want to hear from me again on this. That's not true. If your heart is sincere and you're praying and seeking and want to hear from Him, God wants to hear it. But if you're praying meaningless repetition, you're not praying with the right heart, and God's not going to listen to that prayer. But as we look at our passages this morning, we're going to look at two parables, if you will, of Jesus making it clear about persistence in prayer that come from the Gospel of Luke. So Luke chapter 18, beginning in verse 1, and I'll ask you to stand in honor of the reading of God's word. Luke chapter 18, beginning in verse 1. "Now he told them a parable on the need for them to pray always and not give up. There was a judge in a certain town who didn't fear God or respect people. And a widow in that town kept coming to him saying, 'Give me justice against my adversary.' For a while he was unwilling, but later he said to himself, 'Even though I don't fear God or respect people, yet because this widow keeps pestering me, I will give her justice so that she doesn't wear me out by her persistent coming.' Then the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. Will not God grant justice to his elect who cry out to him day and night? Will he delay in helping them? I tell you that he will swiftly grant them justice. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?'" Now turn over to Luke chapter 11, and we'll pick up in verse 5. If you don't feel like turning there, obviously it's on the screen. So Luke chapter 11, beginning in verse 5. "He also said to them, 'Suppose one of you has a friend and goes to him at midnight and says to him, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I don't have anything to offer him." Then he will answer from inside and say, don't bother me. The door is already locked and my children and I have gone to bed. I can't get up to give you anything. I tell you, even though he won't get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his friend's shameless boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. May the Lord add richly to the reading of his word. Let's go to him in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your love. We thank you that your word is the truth. Lord, not a truth among many, but the truth, the one and only truth. God, help us to hear from you today. Help us to understand your instructions about prayer and how we should pray, knowing that we'll receive from you when we come to you and seek your face and want to hear from you and want to know you. So God, direct us now, Lord. I pray that I might decrease, God, that you might increase. It's in your powerful and precious name we pray these things. Amen. You may be seated. We're going to look at three things we can learn about prayer this morning. Three things that we can learn about prayer from this passage. The first thing that we can learn about prayer is that Jesus clearly teaches us to pray persistently. In verse 1 of chapter 18, Luke makes it clear that Jesus was telling this parable to his disciples so that they would know how to pray and to pray at all times and not lose heart. His message was clear to them. He wanted them to pray consistently, to pray on a regular basis, to keep coming to him in prayer. It's easy to lose heart when we don't feel like we're getting answers from God in our prayers. If we were all honest this morning, we would have to admit there have been plenty of times when we were praying, we didn't feel like our prayers were going any farther than the ceiling. We felt like we weren't hearing from God. We felt like we weren't getting an answer from God. But the truth is, we may pray for days, we may pray for weeks, we may pray for months, we may pray for years. God always hears the prayers of his children. And listen to me, God always answers the prayers of his children. The answer may be wait, but God always answers prayers from his children. We need to remember in those times when we're not hearing, when we don't think we're hearing back from God, that God's answer is wait. It's not time yet. Keep praying. Keep seeking. Keep pursuing me. Sometimes the Father knows that we need to go through something, we need to experience something before we're ready to hear the answer, before we're in a place where we can accept the answer that God has for us. But Jesus wants us to know that we must continue to be consistent and persistent in our prayers. We're not to give up on God just because it doesn't seem we're getting the answer that we want. Let's be honest, sometimes the answer's already been no, but we don't accept no. We want to keep praying and want God to change his mind on that. I'm afraid what happens in those times, sometimes it gets to the point where God says, okay, here you go. And we end up experiencing something that we didn't know would be a result of getting what we thought we wanted. God always knows best. I can't tell you how many stories I've heard through the years about moms, dads, grandmothers, so on and so forth, praying for family members, praying for friends for a long, long time to come to faith in Christ. And how eventually they came to Christ. Even this week, Haley was talking about somebody at one of her camps, was telling me about somebody sharing a testimony of praying for this person and their family for years and years and years. And literally, within just a short period of them passing away, they prayed to trust Christ. Folks, don't ever give up. You don't ever know when they may come to faith in Christ. Now hear me. Everybody we pray for is not going to come to Christ, because some people are just going to harden their hearts to God. But when you're praying for somebody to come to faith in Christ, you can know on the authority of the Word of God that it is in God's will for you to pray that prayer, and it's God's will that none should perish. It is God's will that none should die separated from him. But God does not force anyone to follow him. He gives us that opportunity to choose him. The King James Version uses the word faint when it comes to praying. The CSB says not give up. Now, if you've ever fainted, you know fainting can be a helpless feeling. I'm pretty sure from memory, I only remember one time in my life fainting. I was a boy. I was young. I'd been to the doctor and I wasn't feeling 100%. But we were in Augusta, Pat. We were in downtown Augusta in the old Sears store on 15th and Walton Way. And I remember we'd gone up the escalator, and I was coming down the escalator, and it just was kind of stuffy and hot, and I just, like I said, I didn't feel good. And as we got closer toward the bottom, I passed out. Of course, I didn't know what was going on. I was young, and I woke up, and there's all these people huddled around me. You know, that was real comforting. But it was such a crazy feeling to feel passed out. All I really needed was some fresh air, and I felt a little better. In our society, folks, we're constantly polluted by the junk of this world. We're bombarded spiritually by the darts of the enemy, and we need the fresh air of heaven to keep us from becoming faint or losing heart spiritually. That's why we need to pursue God. That's why we need to spend time with Him daily. That's why we need to have a genuine, sincere prayer life with God. If the only time you pray to God is when you sit down to eat, you're not being obedient to the Word of God. Paul makes it very clear. I'm going to give you your memory verse for this week. This is a very difficult one, okay? It is 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Okay, it's going to be a hard one to learn, all right? You with me? Pray without ceasing. That's your memory verse for the week. Pray without ceasing. You might not remember the reference tomorrow, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, but I bet you'll remember, pray without ceasing. I can teach you another one in a little while. It's John 11:35. You can look it up and figure out what that one is. That's the shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept. But anyway, we may feel like that our prayers are going unanswered, but I want to say to you very clearly, that is your feelings. That is not the facts. The facts are your prayers are being heard. The fact is your Heavenly Father listens. The fact is His Son died for your sin so that you could have someone to pay the price for you, so that you would have the privilege of entering God's presence. The answer may not always be the answer that you want it to be, but God will always answer your prayers. Whenever He answers your prayers differently than what you wanted, then understand He has a plan. And we ought to always pray, God, if this is not your will, if what I'm praying for is not your will, then please do what you know is best. And the reality is, we know from His word that He will do what is best for us, because God works all things together for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. Romans 8:28. We can count on the promises of God's word. We can count on the fact that God hears and answers our prayers. So pray with persistence. But secondly, I want you to see that persistence is rewarded. Persistence is rewarded. In the first parable that we read of the widow that apparently had been wronged by someone and wanted the help of the court in going for a settlement, now we need to understand a couple of things about a court in Jesus' day. It would have been a movable tent. It wasn't a big building on the corner. It was a movable tent. And it went from place to place, and he had his circuit, and he would have his assistants surrounding him as he heard cases, and he would only hear the cases that he chose to hear. Many times those assistants would be bribed by someone so that they could go to the judge and find favor with him and get that case heard. This widow wasn't powerful, and generally in that male-dominated society, women were not allowed to bring a case to court anyway. She also was poor and had no means to bribe one of the judge's assistants to have her case heard. But still, she felt that the court was the only opportunity that she had to find justice. She began to pester the judge. The judge didn't fear God. Jesus made that clear. He wasn't someone who honored or respected people. He was cynical. He was a hard man. After she had spent some time pestering the judge to be heard, he finally decided for his own defense that he had to give her legal protection. The last of verse 5 in the King James Version says, "Lest she weary me." Now the CSB that I read from says, "wear me out." But a literal translation of the Greek there actually says, "lest she gives me a black eye." Literal translation. He wasn't concerned that she was going to hit him. Let me be clear. He was concerned that she was going to soil his reputation. He was kind of concerned he'd look bad in the eyes of others if he didn't hear this poor widow's case. So he finally got to the point where he was saving face, where he was saving reputation. He didn't want to have his reputation tainted, so he heard the case. In the second parable, we read of a man who had a house guest come in about midnight. That's one thing to turn away. It's midnight, go on. No, I'm just kidding. Back in that day, they didn't have hotels, so if somebody got there late, then that's, you know, that was the only option they had. Well, the custom in that day was to provide 3 loaves of bread whenever you had a guest come. Now, this wasn't a bag of Colonial or whatever your favorite bread is. This was a loaf, a smaller thing, maybe something like that size, you know, more like a roll or something of that sort. But they were to provide that. Well, he didn't have anything in his cupboard, so he goes to his neighbor's house and he begins to pester his neighbor. Now, understand, a house in that day was one room, so everybody was asleep in the same room, and he was simply trying to get the guy to go away. Hey, man, my kids are sleeping. Leave. Quit bugging me, dude. I don't want to get up. I don't have anything. But because he persisted, he got up, gave him the bread, not because he was his friend, but because he wanted to get rid of him. Because he didn't want him to wake up the rest of his family. His persistence paid off. The judge was wicked, and he finally relented to the wishes of the widow and gave her legal protection. But we need to see the contrast between the woman and us and the judge and God. First of all, this woman was a stranger to the judge. He didn't know her. Let me tell you, when you come before the Father, you are no stranger to him. You're his child. He knows you. He wants to hear from you. As a matter of fact, he welcomes you. He is glad to see you. You know, my mom got to a point where she could not really communicate a whole lot. She could say just maybe a couple of words. She'd try to start what seemed like she was starting a sentence, and she would say about 3 words, and then she couldn't get anything else out. But even up to the last few weeks, until just a few weeks ago, whenever I would come in, her face would light up. She knew me. She wanted to see me. Our Heavenly Father, so much more so, wants to hear from his kids, wants to hear from us, wants us to be in his presence. We're not strangers to God. But second, the woman didn't have a friend in the courtroom among his assistants to plead her case. We, however, have Christ, our advocate, who stands there for us, who stands between us, who made the way possible for us to enter into God's presence. We have an advocate to go in and plead our case before the Father. This widow had no promise that she would be heard at all. However, for you and I, we have a promise that we'll be heard. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. We can go boldly into the throne. Now, listen. Don't be crazy and think that somehow we're entitled to be in God's presence. There's a huge difference between being able to enter his presence with boldness, knowing that we'll be received, than there is in thinking that we deserve to be there. We don't deserve to be in God's presence, but because of what Christ did on the cross, his blood applied to our lives makes us a part of the family. And we can enter his presence and know that we'll be received. Even when we've done stupid stuff, he still receives us. What a great Heavenly Father we have. Not only that, though, the Word of God makes it clear that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us when we don't even know what to say. You ever been praying and you're just like, man, I don't even know what to pray? God's got you covered. Romans 8:26. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Let me just be honest. Sometimes we're not the sharpest knife in the drawer. Sometimes we're not praying for the right stuff. Sometimes we're praying for stuff that there is no way in the world God would give it to us, because he knows it would do nothing but harm us. In those times, the Holy Spirit's interceding for us and praying what we should be praying. In those times when you just don't know what to pray, in those times when you just don't know what to say to God, when your heart is so heavy, when you're burdened so much, you just want to say, God, can I just hang out? Can I just be here? In those times, the Holy Spirit is speaking those words that our heart wants to say. What's perhaps the greatest contrast here is this widow came to a court of law. As Christians, we come to the throne of grace to be heard by a loving Heavenly Father. She pled before the court out of her poverty, yet you and I have all the riches of God available to meet our needs. But then the other parable, first we can know that God indeed has all that we need when we pray for our needs, and he's more than willing to meet our needs. Don't you love the fact that the Word of God says that he meets our needs according to his riches and glory? Not from, but according to. If somehow it were from, that would mean that we were taking from him and he had less. When God meets our needs, he's not losing a thing. According to his riches, and he has so much more than we could ever begin to wrap our brain around. When God blesses, when God provides, when God takes care, he gives generously to us. This host had a need, but he had to beg to have his need met. We don't have to beg God to meet our needs, but we do need to be persistent in praying and realize that sometimes it's going to be a while before God answers that prayer. But God provides our needs. But secondly, unlike the neighbor of the host, our God never sleeps or slumbers. You ever have somebody call you when you're sleeping? I mean, I don't know about you, but it's pretty obvious when I pick up a phone and I've been asleep, it's kind of hard for me to collect myself enough to give a clear hello. You know, it's more like, hello. You know, I mean, I try, but it just, you hadn't spoken a word and it's just, you can't hardly get it out there. There's never, ever been a time when you've gone to the Father and he said, hold on, let me get the sleep out of my eyes. Let me wake up. No, it's okay, you called. You didn't wake me up. I had to answer the phone anyway. The truth is, our Heavenly Father never sleeps or slumbers. There's never a time when he doesn't know what's going on in your life. You know, when you go to sleep tonight, you'll wake up tomorrow and something has changed overnight. You may not ever know about it, but something's different. Doesn't happen to God. The truth is, he already knows what's going to happen tomorrow. He's already there. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He knows the beginning from the end. Even the days of your life are numbered by him. You can trust it to him and know that he will hear your prayers, that he doesn't miss anything in your life. We should be encouraged to pray by knowing that our Father is waiting to hear and to answer our prayers. He is a loving Father who wants the very best for us and enjoys spending time with us. Now, we have to understand that he actually knows what is best, even when we think we know what is best. God truly does, and that's how he'll answer our prayers. So persistence pays off in the world, and being persistent to pray in God's will has eternal rewards. But the third thing that I want you to see that these parables tell us is that God desires to answer the prayers of his children. Now, at the close of each parable, we're drawn to the conclusion that God will certainly act on behalf of his children. The unrighteous judge said that God would bring about justice for his elect or for his chosen. That is, for those who have received salvation. They are the ones who are faithfully serving God and seeking his presence in their life. Indeed, he will not delay in answering our prayers. Many times, what might seem like a delay to us is simply a time of preparation for us so that God will answer our prayer in his timing, or at least an answer other than wait. You know, I began praying when I was 15 years old that God would lead me to the right girl to marry. I didn't even know Janice at 15 years old. But at 19, he introduced me to her. At 19, he made it clear to me that that's who I was to marry. And I told her, I don't know what crime she committed for this life sentence she's serving, but I'm glad she did. Indeed, if we, yes, amen, bless her, definitely. If we will ask, seek, and knock, we will find and know the will of the Father. He is not trying to keep his will hidden from us. Instead, he is determined to give the very best to us. And if we'll just seek him in faith and seek him with diligence, if we'll knock with persistence, we'll know his will for our lives. God is not baiting us only to switch things on us. You know, some people advertise stuff trying to get you into their store, and then you get there and you find out that deal that was so good, well, we no longer have that, but we have something else just a little more expensive. God doesn't play bait and switch. God offers you the clear blessings of heaven, and he wants you to know his blessings in this life. His offer is the best for you, and it's not going to change. We should be motivated to pray, knowing that God wants to be with us and wants to bless us. I heard the story of a gentleman who worked the second shift. He worked the 4 p.m. to midnight shift, and this was in days gone by. He walked back and forth to work, and one night when the moon was really bright, he decided to cut through a cemetery. It would cut about a half mile off of his walk home from work. So since it was so bright and so clear, he walked right through that cemetery, and each night after that, he decided to continue to do that. Every night, he carefully followed the same path. Well, one night, he was coming home from work, walking through that cemetery, and unbeknownst to him, during the day, a grave had been dug right in the middle of his path. And wouldn't you know, he found that grave by going down in that hole. But when he got down in there, he clawed and he tried to climb out, and finally he just said, you know what, I'm just going to sit down. Somebody will be around in the morning and they can help me get out. So he sat down in the corner of that grave that had been dug, and he was sitting there and he'd kind of nodded off. Well, into the night, wouldn't you know, along came a man who had been a little too long on stuff he shouldn't have been drinking, and he was drunk, and he made his way and found that hole. Well, as soon as he hit the bottom of that hole, boy, he tried to climb out of the hole. He was doing everything he could to get out of that hole, and that shift worker who had fallen into that hole earlier was roused by all the commotion that was going on, and he reached over and touched his leg, and he said, "Friend, you can't get out of here." He did. That was motivation. We shouldn't need to be motivated by adverse circumstances to go to God in prayer. Sometimes we find ourselves in a hole that we can't get out of, and then we finally revert to going to God in prayer. Folks, if you're on the mountaintop, if you're at the bottom of the valley, you need to be going to God in prayer every day. You know, one of the scariest places to be, and I'm just being honest with you here, one of the scariest places to be as a Christian is on the mountaintop, because it feels real good, but you need to rest assured, when you're on the mountaintop, you're a target. The enemy's coming. And here's the scary thing as a believer. Sometimes the sweetest place to be is in the most difficult circumstances of life when we're depending on God the most. We're close to him, and we hear from him. When we get on the mountaintop, we tend to rely on ourselves more. When we get in the valley, we don't have anywhere to look but up, and we realize he's there with us. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you're experiencing in your life, but prayer is not optional equipment to your faith. It's not a matter of if you want to live for Christ, it's not one of those things you can say, nah, I don't really need that. If you want to live for Christ, you must be a person of prayer. Now listen, I get it. God has blessed some with an ability to pray, and you know, man, when they pray, their prayer is so in tune with God, and you feel it when they pray. And others of us feel like, you know, I'm struggling. I don't know what to say. You know, the thing that I found about God, he doesn't care if you pray in King James English or from South Georgia English. And I realize if you're from LJ, everything below Jasper, South Georgia. So I'm from Augusta. I guess I'm from South Georgia. It doesn't matter how you talk to God as long as you talk to God from your heart. And the thing is, you can pray. It doesn't have to be in a prayer closet, although I hope and pray that you have a place where you spend time in God's Word and you spend time talking and listening. But you can pray riding down the road. Please keep your eyes open. But you can pray riding down the road. You can pray everywhere you are. That's why Paul said, pray without ceasing. It is about a mindset focusing on him and talking to him and listening to him. You know, God wants to speak to you every day. He wants to be with you every moment of every day. But you have to be willing to listen. You have to be willing to engage him. Take a look at your life and notice that there are those around you who are in need. Are you praying for them? Are you lifting them up? There are those around you who are hurting. Are you lifting them up? But more than anything, there are those around you who need to know Jesus. Are you lifting them up? Friday, when my mom passed away, the only sadness I had was for me, not for her. But that's because I knew she belonged to Jesus. As a 6-year-old boy, I knelt beside her bed, holding her hand, and invited Jesus into my life. I'm going to see her again. But there are people in our lives that every one of us know that if we leave this earth and nothing changes in their life, we're not going to see them in eternity. If they leave this earth before we do, we're not going to see them in eternity. Do you care enough to pray for them? Do you care enough to lift them up? Prayer matters. We must be people of prayer. Our Heavenly Father wants to spend time with us. Whatever your burden is today, whatever is heavy on your heart, your Heavenly Father already knows, but he wants to hear from you. So would you bring it to him? Would you talk to him about it? If you're here and you've never placed your faith in Christ, on the authority of the Word of God, I'm going to tell you exactly what the Word of God says. If you don't place your faith in Christ, you'll spend your eternity in a lake of fire, separated from God. You see, the truth is, all of us are eternal beings. All of us will live forever. But I don't exactly call living in a lake of fire living. God's desire is that you would spend your eternity with him. All you have to do is admit your sin and invite him into your life. If you haven't done that, do that today. Maybe God's leading you to become a part of this body of believers, to serve him through the ministry of this church. Whatever God's put on your heart today, be obedient to him right now in this invitation. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you for your peace, for your presence, for the reality that I know from your word that you hear our prayers. God, for any here today that don't know you, I pray they take that first step by asking your forgiveness, by admitting to themselves, Lord, they're a sinner in need of a Savior, just like the rest of us were when we came to faith in you. That they would confess that sin and invite you into their life. God, I know there are others who are hurting here this morning, going through various things in their life right now. You know. God, I pray your Holy Spirit would minister to them. And I pray they'd have the wisdom to let go of it and trust it to you. God, whatever you want to do in our hearts during this time of invitation, we give it to you. You be Lord in this place. It's in your precious name we pray these things. Amen.